Well, I'm here to introduce a man that you all know very well, Dr. Mark Troyer. For those of you who know Dr. Troyer, you will appreciate my wardrobe today. I wore what I consider to be the signature Mark Troyer sweater vest. Wait till it drops a couple degrees and you'll see him in it pretty regularly. I thought actually about shaving everything except for my mustache and then kind of doing the whole flat top, but I mean, who can compete with that, really?
Not you.
Not me, for sure. To give you some perspective on Dr. Troyer's devotion, if you recognize the Zealot class right here, Zealous, anyone? Okay. He has been working in Asbury for about as long as you've been alive, so consider yourselves fortunate. But really, from building ropes courses to working intimately with student government, and then even, you know, being at the helm of the great ship we call Fletcher Early, Dr. Troyer has been really involved with Asbury College. I've known Mark for a while, as he would prefer to be called, and I've seen him, you know, jumping on trees with chainsaws in Past Christiane. I've seen him late at night building a deck, warding off mosquitoes and all kinds of pests. And I've even seen him, actually, does anyone here remember the story about assuming the position? Anyone? Okay. We've all heard that one. But I've also seen him late night having life discussions with students that he really loves and really cares about. And I've heard him as a voice for the students, as an administrator to faculty and staff. And he's done a lot for us. So I appreciate him. So know that when he speaks today, he speaks from the heart, and he speaks to you, the college, and he also speaks to you, the individual. So please help me in welcoming Dr. Mark Troyer.
It's always a mistake to let a student get up and introduce you. It just is. Thanks, Dustin. That actually was pretty kind. He could have done a lot worse. I do want to say a word about the hurricane. Dustin mentioned that. I've been kind of watching that. Past Christiane and New Orleans and that whole Texas area got hit by a hurricane. And it was just over 3 years ago that this community adopted a little town down there called Past Christiane, Mississippi, because that's what this kind of community does. And over those couple years, we took a couple of the biggest missions trips to that area to support that community. I think we've had over 8 or 9 trips go down again. Harold Leader yesterday. This is the picture. You can see that in the back, right? This is the Past Christiane Harbor all over again. Got destroyed yesterday or a couple days ago. So we're going to talk about community today. But as we do that, I want us to think and pray about other communities too. This is a great place, Asbury College, and we're in a great spot. But there's hurting people right now. And this is one of those sets of people that are hurting that I encourage you to continue to pray for. Some of you have been down there, and your hearts are with them, I'm sure. This is a great time to be at Asbury College. Biggest enrollment ever this fall. Softball is back. Glide Crawford gets refurbished. Yes. And I hear there's an open house with food on Friday, so 3:30 to 5:30, I think. Where's Julia? And the Residence Life staff, she's going, yes, come on over. Okay, 3:30 to 5:30. ComArts building design is rolling. We're hoping to get that rolling here this year. A lot of people were at the Olympics. Got to experience that. We had students traveling internationally all over the place with Asbury Initiative and service trips, and many of you were doing those on your own. Last year this time, we were opening the student center. That's just become a part of campus. It's so fun to have that. It's so, and there are fruits on the banana trees. If anybody wants to look, there are fruit on the banana trees, on one of the banana trees. How cool is that? We have old banana trees there that we're wondering, should we keep them? Should we throw them out? There's fruit on one of the banana trees. Check it out. This is a good thing. And if anybody touches that fruit, let me just tell you, Dr. Gray and I will have a talk about what will happen. No, you know, one of the cool things, too, is our enrollment is growing so significantly. We're pretty tight. Ladies, I'm sorry. But we're looking at the next phase of Aldersgate and what that's going to be. So probably by the end of this year, the old physical plant will be gone. And we will look at what the next phase of building Aldersgate is. And we're playing with designs and things like that. And because I can, I figured I would show you one of the things that we're toying around with is the next Aldersgate so we can get it up quick. So this is kind of the plan that we have right now. I'm disappointed. What are you laughing about? You know, we got a penthouse up here. We got a living and learning community, big area down here. It's not. Some of the freshmen are going, really? Oh, sorry, no. Actually, I want to give kudos to the freshmen, too, this year. What a great way to start. What a great class. Orientation weekend, they're all over the place serving this community. And you can't believe the impact that really has on this community. To see us as a community the first weekend serving this place called Wilmore. So kudos to the Zealous class. Thank you for your work up there. You can clap and say this is cool. Yeah, it's a good thing. You know, by Asbury being a community, Wilmore should be a better place just by us being here. And it is a better place by us being here. Our student development staff this year has been unwrapping a bit of a theme called Expressions of Community, Holiness, Collaboration, and Joy. And I just want to touch on that a little bit. Dustin told me it would be the most popular chapel if we got out early, so we'll maybe get there. But we have an incredible opportunity in this place to live in community together in a way that probably won't ever happen the rest of your lives. Unless you're faculty and staff and you fail the final every year and you keep coming back, which is what obviously some of us have done. Kind of like Groundhog Day. We're back. But it's a great we're back. It's a great place to be back too. But it's important that we take advantage of this opportunity of living in community together while we have it. What does an unapologetically Christ-centered community look like? It's one where it's full of people who pursue holiness, others-centeredness, Christ-likeness. Two, who collaborate and work together to support each other, to challenge each other in all kinds of different ways. And finally, who are joyful in doing that. That's what a community ought to be. That's what Christ calls us to do. And that's what I'm going to unwrap a little bit here this morning. The first part I want to just talk about is holiness. That's a term that will be explained and has been explained in a lot of different ways over the course of this year as we talk about the cornerstone and spiritual vitality. But I want us to think about seeing that as an expression of community. Sometimes around here we make the word holiness this mysterious word that we don't use in everyday life. I haven't seen it on your status page of your Facebook, holy today. You don't use that in the text messages very often, but it's a word that we ought to become familiar with. It's a word that we ought to pursue, get to know and understand and strive for. Dr. Steve Deneff, who will be speaking here in chapel later this week. For those of you upperclassmen who've heard him before, he's the really tall guy that's bald that kind of speaks like this. Just remember that when he comes. But he's got a book that some of you read called Whatever Happened to Holiness, in which he encourages us to set a high standard in our spiritual journey. And in it, he explains that true holiness is a long and enduring love for God. In season and out of season. It's a pure heart that is set on things above. It doesn't mean that we live up with our head in the clouds, but that we focus on understanding Jesus and how he interacts with us on a daily basis. What does it mean every day as we understand Christ? God expects excellence. Dr. Gray talked about that last week. Not just in our academic work and our athletic lives, but socially, but how we live life together. He expects us to be the best at that. How we live life together. In fact, he says it's an indicator of our life as disciples. In John 13, he says, Christ gave us a new commandment that you love one another. By this, they will know that you're my disciples. That's how a community of believers ought to be described. You know, loving one another is tough sometimes. We have those pieces of pride in our lives. We have those things that make it hard, those hurts that make it hard. Life sometimes doesn't go as we planned it to go, and it makes it hard, but God gives us the help to make it right, and the choices that we need to make in loving him. My pastor at our church came over to my wife and I's house, and he gave this illustration. I won't do it justice, but I loved it. And he talked about life sometimes is like a shopping cart. And you know when you get a bad shopping cart at Kroger's that's got like a back axle or a wheel, and it just keeps going like this, and you're fighting it, you know? And it's just, oh, I hate those, bad shopping cart. And, you know, sometimes that's what our life is like. It's like we've got a little bit of a bent axle of some sort. Or we've got one of those wheels that goes like this, you know. You know, stop! People are looking at me. You know, but you know what? God calls the Holy Spirit into our life to change that axle and to fix that axle a little bit and to grease those bearings. And so that our life can be one that is more true But we got to ask them to do that. They got to ask somebody to work on that shopping cart. The Holy Spirit wants to come into our lives and work on straightening those axles and work on greasing that wheel. I was actually playing around with, if I'd had more time and a lot of media comm majors, what would it look like to do a short video of 1,300 people walking around campus with shopping carts, you know? And all of a sudden, oh, that went off, into the cereal aisle. You know, the opportunity to be pure and straight is there if we ask for it. If we ask the Holy Spirit to help us, that's what holiness is. Philippians says, live in such a way. There's a shopping cart illustration. I forgot to put it up. Long pause. See the picture. Okay, we're moving on. Live in such a way that you're a credit to the message of Christ. That's what Philippians says. Allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives. Holiness sometimes is simple. We make it hard. You know, it's love others and love God. Love God, love others. It's the great commandment, the great commission. But what does it look like every day? Sometimes it's just being kind. Sometimes it's not trying to get our own way. Sometimes it's just saying, I'm sorry. What do I do when I lose or get fouled hard in an intramural game? How do I respond to injustice? How do I interact with others on Facebook? What do I post on YouTube? What do I look at on YouTube? Would I be willing to throw all the things I look at up on the screen and say, this is Mark's favorites? What would happen if all the texts that I sent were captured and cataloged and made public? Would somebody say, those are from someone who's a credit to the message of Christ? It's just those small choices. I put this up last year, and I almost didn't put it up because I put it up last year. I thought, that's silly. I mean, this is the word of God. I'm going to put it up again. James 13 says, God's wisdom begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It's gentle, reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community, which is what we're about here, that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with others, treating each other with dignity and honor. You know, the spiritual disciplines are a big part of our pursuit of holiness. And that memorizing scripture, being in the word, prayer, being with others, solitude. Those are the things that we put in our cup. If life is a cup of water, those are the things that we're putting into our cup. The music, the conversations, the TV shows that we're looking at, the audio, the web, the scripture. Come here, Dustin. I didn't tell him I was going to do this. All right, now Dustin's holding that cup. All right, if I come along, hold on to that. Now, always wanted to do that. I did tell Joy this will clean up, but no, don't be drinking my water. Now, what came out of that cup? Water. You know what came out of that cup is what we put into that cup. If we put Diet Coke in that cup, and I did this, Diet Coke would come out. Okay, now hang on to it a little harder. Both hands. Don't squeeze it and break it. All right, now, he's protecting it a little bit more. If I called Greg, I won't do this, but if Greg Hasselhoff came up and if Claire Budd came up and we had a bunch of people hanging on to this thing and I tried to hit it, it'd probably keep from getting shaken up. Okay, thank you. You can sit down. You can have the water. Go ahead. Take the water. I don't want it. Take the water. I have another one. Ha ha. But you know, whatever we put in the cup is what comes out of the cup when crisis comes along or when things are hard. It's those things that we've invested into our lives that come out when the tough times come. But you know what? We've also, I loved what Pastor Gaines said last week, you know, and I found these online. I loved them. Does your audio match your video? You know, are the things that I'm saying, the things that I'm putting into my life matching what I'm doing? And putting those things in the cup are what's going to come out. God calls us also to be collaborative, to work together. We're not in this by ourselves. We're relational beings. Ecclesiastes says, two are better than one, for there's a good return for their work. If one falls down, the other can help him up. But pity the fool who has no one to help him up. All right, he doesn't say fool, but pity the man who has no one to help him up. God made us relational beings. He put us in this life for a reason. That's why we have you living in the residence halls together. Sometimes it's not easy. God set us up to live in communities with others. We're made relational beings. You know, some of you found hey, this roommate thing isn't as cool as I thought it was. You know, there's 60 or 70% of you that never shared a room with anybody before you get to college. But it's worthwhile walking through that. God made us people to live together. There are plenty of opportunities to understand and misunderstand. Work on the understanding part. That's part of what a holy community does that works together. It's up to us to work at relationships. Those on our team, those in our classroom, our colleagues, people in our hall, people in our families. I tell you, Satan works on us. This has been one of the hardest weeks for me in a relationship with a family member. It's tough sometimes, and he knows that that's the piece that helps us grow the most sometimes is those relationships with family and those relationships with others. But he gives us the strength to do that. God wants us to help. He wants to help heal our relationships and work with others. Often it's those people that God places in our lives that uses us as instruments and tools to build and sharpen us. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. How that happens is people beating on each other. Now, don't go beating on each other. But iron is beat on each other. It's hard sometimes. But God calls us to do that with each other in a positive way for the benefit of other. You know, the Olympics were phenomenal. That was an awful couple weeks for me because I got like zero sleep. I was an Olympic junkie. I loved watching those. There are illustrations all over the place, and I'd love to talk to some of you that were in Beijing. There's some great stories. I've talked to a few of you, but there's some great stories about collaboration and about people watching out for each other and about team. There's one place that didn't happen. Anybody know what happened to an Olympic rower? He didn't show up. There's an Olympic rower who didn't make his prelim because he thought it was at the wrong time. A lifetime's worth of training, and he just didn't show. Had he had people in his life, friends, coaches, team members, watching for him, go, how's it going? You ready for this race? Yeah, it's at 10 o'clock. No, it's not. It's at 9. Get over there. Life might have been different for him. You know, God calls us to help each other. You know, who are those people in our lives who can do that for us? Who are we doing that for? And some of you have done that in the last couple weeks or last week or so. There's some of you that came here that are homesick and I don't want to be here and it's hard, but somebody stepped up, put a hand on your shoulder, and said, it's going to be all right. Let's go eat together. It's going to be okay. A lot of you have done that. That's what community does. That's what collaboration is about. Who are you doing that for? Are there people that you're doing that for in your life? Who are those in your lives that you're willing to give the permission to ask hard questions about your own spiritual growth or about just get me up out of class or get me up out of bed and help me get to class? Some of us just need that. Man, call me. I've slept through 7 alarm clocks. You know, pound on the door. I need to get to class. It's a good thing to go to class. A friend of mine has a saying that he got somewhere else and stole from somebody else. And, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, but I love it. It's look up to God, look out for others, look down for trash. You know, look up to God. That's that holiness thing. Look out for others. It's that collaboration, loving each other thing. Look down for trash. It's just simple, you know. It's taking care of God's creation. Stu Smith, I don't know if he's in here or not. Stu does this. You know, you'll be walking along talking to Stu, and all of a sudden he's gone. Where'd he go? He's back there like 20 yards picking up a gum wrapper. But you know, the campus looks better when Stu walks around. You know? If we all, as we walked across the campus, saw a weed sticking in a flower bed and we pulled it out, this plant would never have to do that. They would love it. You know, if we picked up the gum wrappers in life, if we looked up to God and out for others all the time, our community would continue to grow beautiful. Just like if we picked up trash. I just challenge us. If you see a piece of trash, pick it up. It'd be kind of cool to not ever notice trash again. Finally, let me talk about joy just a little bit. Expressions of community is about holiness. It's about being together. We are in this together. We're in a community together. But it's also about expressing joy. This summer, we got to go to a wedding that 4 of the 5 Troyers were in, and I was the MC at a reception, which is an interesting thing to do. My daughter was in the wedding. My sons were in the wedding. And it was in eastern Pennsylvania. One of my nieces got married, and it was an ordinary wedding and an extraordinary wedding at the same time. They were having a ball. I mean, some weddings, there's all kinds of stress and, you know, the in-laws aren't getting along with the outlaws, and there's all kinds of bad things going on. But But this was fun. I mean, they were enjoying this new stage of life. They were content in who they were. And I'm going to show you a picture here because we're a visual, digital, image kind of people. You know, how many have ever been in a wedding? Raise your hand. Whoa, that's a lot of people. You spend a lot of money. You know, when you get done with the wedding at the church, what's the next thing that happens? You go to the reception. And what do you go to the reception in? Nice car, you know, limo, something, you know, something nice. Well, because of the vocation of my new niece and nephew-in-law, they had an option to go in trucks. And it was not just a Ford F-150. Here's where they went to in the wedding. Is that great or what? I mean, these were joyful people. And I love my niece. She's one of my favorite nieces. Oh, this is on podcast. I hope my other nieces and nephews don't listen to it. But Danae is great. And they were just so joyful that day. It didn't matter. They could have been jumping in a hay baler and going somewhere. Or there was just joy that day at this wedding because of the connections, because of being content in who they were. They were having a ball. And they were joyful in everything. It was so fun. But you know, we can't have weddings every day. There's another man called Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a theologian, a young, brilliant scholar, German, who ministered in Germany during World War II. He had views that were incredibly contrary to what was happening in his country, and contrary to the political wielders of the day, i.e. Hitler, who basically threw him into a concentration camp, where he spent almost 2 years in military prisons. And during that time, he wrote some books that have been classics in the Christian life. One called The Cost of Discipleship. The other called Life Together. They're great books if you have a chance to read them. He was executed by special order of Heinrich Himmler in April of 1945. But prior to that, he spent time with a group of international people who were also in a concentration camp. And here's how they described him. Bonhoeffer always seemed to spread an atmosphere of happiness and joy over the least incident and a profound gratitude for the mere fact that he was alive. Boy, would I like to have people say that about me. A number of years ago, I reread his book, and there's a quote in there that I have not been able to get away from. In a chapter on community, he makes a statement that, for me, is incredibly convicting. And he says, "The physical presence of other believers is a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer." How many people would say that about me? How many people would say that about you? That just by being there, you are a source of incredible strength to other believers. You know, that's what community is about. That's what community should be about. You know, we can work toward that. The physical presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer. Wow, I'm not that very often. But should we be that? Yeah, we should. That's what God calls us to. It's not natural. It's supernatural. Only a relationship with Christ at a deep level can give us the ability to live above our circumstances and have a peace and a contentment that can look like joy. That's what James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds." How anti-intuitive is that? But that's the Holy Spirit living in our lives. That gives us that joy of living. There's people in your life that you can think of that are like that. Why are they like that? Ask those kind of questions. Ask them that question. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote Philippians from a Roman jail. Back at that time, they didn't really have the inspections and the federal guidelines that our jails do here, you know, where they're clean and 3 meals a day and you have nice guards. Well, maybe not nice guards, but you've got people there. The Roman jails were dank, typically subterranean. Paul spent like 5 to 7 years of his life during his missionary journey in jails like that. Yet when you look at his writings in Philippians, he says, he talks about the joy that he has, that whenever he thinks of them, of the Philippians, he has joy as he prays for them. I mean, he's not eating much food. It's ugly down there. It's nasty. It's dark. But he's got a joy somehow. Where's that come from? You know, living day to day, we typically aren't in weddings every day, and though this group looks like they might be. We typically aren't in prison. We live life somewhere in between. But God asks us and gives us the power to be joyful. In his book, Whatever Happened to Holiness, Deneff writes that joy is an outgrowth of holiness and is the consequence of a heart that has quit arguing and finally settled down with God. Consequence of a heart that has quit arguing and has finally settled down with God. That doesn't depend on our circumstances. That's a, okay, God, you got it in control. It's okay. What would it take for us to finally settle down with God? What's that look like? For me, it's a continual process of putting my own pride and selfishness down. Those are the ones that, when I'm not spending time in the Word, those are the ones in my life that raise their ugly head that are a barometer for my spiritual life. And realizing I don't have it all together and that God loves me regardless. G.K. Chesterton said, evil cannot understand joy. You know, it is supernatural. It's something that God can give us to live with. Only God through his Holy Spirit can give us the ability to have joy that is not tied to our circumstances. I would imagine that at a wedding but it would be easy, but how about when the year isn't starting as well as we thought? Or when I'm having issues with my family? Or, man, this class is a lot harder than I thought. Or this place, this Asbury College thing isn't what I thought it was. We can still have joy in this place. Asbury College is a great place. The potential to impact the world here is huge. And people from here have impacted the world in huge ways and in little ways. Those are just as important sometimes. People who God has met here have impacted their communities, their families, the people that they interact with. The community that is built here is built, rebuilt every year by only those who are specifically here at this time. We can't live as a community with the people that were here 10 years ago because they're not. We are the people that are here right now. And we have the opportunity to create a community that is holy, that is collaborative, that is joyful. I encourage each of us to explore, how then shall I live? Will I fill my cup with things that are worthy and reflective of Christ? Will I pursue holiness? Will I be willing to do it together? Will I challenge my roommate, my brothers and sisters in Christ to get outside their comfort zone enough to ask for help from me if they need it, or for me to ask for help? Will I see the opportunity to be alive yet another day as an opportunity to be joyful? This is a great place, and I'm just excited about this year, and I'm excited about what this group can do and has done already. And I challenge us to think about how we are expressing this community to other people. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you so much for just the opportunity to love you and for you loving us no matter how ugly we are or what kind of sins we have or what kind of issues that we're going through. But you, Lord, you love us. Help us to be joyful in that love. God, give us the discipline, the patience, the support to make right choices and express to others how we do life together as a community. I thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Help us to be joyful as we go about our day. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.